Pray with me. Father in heaven, we love you. And thank you so much, God, for all you did this weekend in the hearts and the lives, Father, of these women. We pray, God, that you would watch over Owen and Sterling, God. We pray, Lord, you would bless their family. Pray, God, you use this word, God, to stretch us and grow us, Lord. Help us to engage what you need us to know and what you desire us to do. Father, we pray, Lord, as we dive into your word, that most importantly, you will transform us, Lord, to be just like you. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Galatians 2:20, I can't get this scripture out of my head. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you think about that, it's a bit of a paradox because you're dead, but you're living, right? But most importantly, this is something I want us to understand, is that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live it in this flesh. Can I tell you that my spirit looks a whole lot better than my flesh? Anybody with me on that? Yes. Amen. Can I tell you that my spirit has a full head of hair, right? Walking in confidence every day of his life. No, nothing but the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of life that I can walk in. The confidence I can walk in. And it's not, life is not just there for us to have a great life, but God has called us to a life that produces fruit. That life that lives inside of you, we talked about a couple weeks ago, is found in John 15:5. It says that life comes from the vine. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do nothing. You can't accomplish nothing. And so if you and I are to abide in him, and he in us, then it says that we are supposed to be producing fruit. How do you know that you have this life in you? That the life of all creation, the life of the Creator, those who spoke the world into existence, the very word that holds all things by the power of his word, how do you know that those things are living in you? We said, I think a couple weeks ago too, that we know that when people say, are you a Christian or what does that mean? That means the very life of God, God himself, is living in me. It's not because I talk better or walk better or look better. Those things may not even exist. But here's the one thing you know you can count on is that when I say I am a Christian, I am a Christ follower, that means the God of heaven and earth lives in me. That's what that means. And so if he does, then there should be some evidence, right? There should be some fruit from that. And that's what John 15:8 says. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So my question today to us is simply this, is are we bearing fruit? And what fruit are we bearing? If you were to look in your life, what fruit are you bearing right now? What would you say is, here's evidence that life is in me? Because it's not just fruit. He says it's much fruit. Much fruit. If I ask you right now, what fruit do you have in your house? You might say, well, I might have a brown banana on the countertop. It may be almost black by the time I get home, but it's there. I may have some strawberries in the last drawer in the refrigerator. I might have some grapes down there. I may have a watermelon I hadn't cut up just yet. I don't think watermelon's in season just yet, is it? I don't think so. It's too cold, way too cold. But you might have different, but you may struggle to figure out what you might have. But if you had three trash bags full of apples, you wouldn't even think to struggle about what to figure out, what to say. You would just say, oh, I got some apples at the house. You want some? You want some? Somebody gave us a whole bunch of apples, I think it was last year, and I was trying to pawn them jokers off as much as I could. You want some apples? You want some apples? I had a lot of fruit, and so I was trying to give it away. And so as I say that, if we have abundance of fruit in our life, shouldn't we be able to identify it right away? Shouldn't we say, oh yeah, Pastor Scott, I know I got much fruit in my life because here's But then I thought, you know what? We struggle. And I don't know that I could just call out a particular fruit of my life. I hope that that is there. I hope I have some love that you might be able to perceive. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Some of those things, I hope, are evident. But perhaps the reason why we don't know what fruit we bear is because maybe we're not producing much fruit. And maybe it's not even a much fruit issue. It may be that you may not be producing fruit at all. And so if we're failing to produce much fruit, we need to know why that is. Are you in fact producing fruit? And if you don't know that you're producing fruit, how can you be sure? And so this morning, I want us to look at a few things. But most importantly, as we walk through this, I need you to know that the understanding of producing fruit and the recognizing of producing fruit is very important. Because maybe you need to be able to recognize it in your spouse. It will help you know how to pray. You know, maybe your kids are fruitless. Maybe there's no fruit in their lives. You need to know how to pray. Maybe your friends appear to project fruit, right? Fruit that is not nourishing, that doesn't testify and doesn't reproduce. Or maybe you fail to recognize fruit in your own life. But regardless of the why, we need to know how come we're not producing fruit. Because if we in fact follow Christ, and if we in fact are his people, and if we are in fact branches connected to his vine, then the evidence of his life flowing through us is fruit. And the Bible says not just fruit, but much fruit. Specifically, even more than what we would conceive in terms of the much understanding. And so let me just tell you this morning before I get into it, I just want to remind you that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So as I'm preaching this morning, just know that Pastor Scott does not have any aught with you whatsoever at all. But the word of God has come to correct. And I love that. I know that I had a good parent because she was willing to correct me, discipline me, you know, and make sure that I knew what was right and what was wrong. And the word of God loves us. God loves us that he gave us his word to correct us and to show us where we lack. So this morning, I pray that you would allow the word to do just that, to address maybe the reason why you don't have any fruit at all, or maybe while you're not producing fruit in the fashion that you should. And so turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Lord, I just ask you right now, prepare the heart, prepare the soil, Lord. Allow your seed to be sown in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, we read the parable of the sower. I love this. This is one of those staples in preaching. And I think it's so applicable to where we want to go. If we're going to have this life of Christ, if we're going to have one life that you and I share, you should be able to look at somebody else. And maybe you do already, but do you look at their life and say, man, they're producing fruit. They're producing fruit. And the thing is when you look at someone's life and you know that they're producing fruit, the thing you need to remind yourself is simply this. Is that the same life in them is the same life in you. And so what is it that's not allowing you to produce the fruit that they had? There's got to be something that's limiting you. And I would tell you this morning that our issue is not with the fruit we produce. It's the soil that our seed is sown in. So read with me with chapter 13, verse 1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd gathered around him. Soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore, and he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. And other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they did not have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. I believe in the body of Christ that we should be either 30, 60, or 100-fold Christians. I think we need to be that way. And when we say 30, 60, 100, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. In fact, I did a little farmer math, and I realized how many apples I could produce on my yard, and I can produce around, I think it was 70 bushels of apples. I don't even know what apples were measured in bushels. I thought that was wheat, but nonetheless, here we are, 70 bushels of apples. If I apply the math appropriately, after I put in that much seed and I was to reproduce according to 100-fold, as what the Lord says I'm capable of doing, I can produce 5 tons of apples. 5 tons of apples. And if you want to see how big my yard, it's not a huge yard. It does take me a little while to mow it, but that's because probably I'm slow. But that's a whole lot of apples, 5 tons of apples. So imagine in your life if you're just producing this amount, but the Lord says, wait, I've got so much more for you to produce. I want you to produce in a greater way. If the Lord took your fruit and multiplied it 30, 60, and 100-fold, what would our families be like? What would your marriage be like? What would your church be like? What would your city be like? What would our city be like if everyone in here was a 100-fold Christian? I can't even imagine that. I don't even know if my dreamer is that big, because that would be massive. Jesus is telling a parable here, and a parable is simply a whole lot of heaven in earthly terms. He's trying to get you to understand things that you can't comprehend by using things that you can comprehend. And so Jesus is telling this parable, and notice that no one knows what he's talking about. And so in verses 18 through 23, disciples are saying, well, what are you talking about? And he says, let me explain that to you. And we're going to walk through that today. But here's what you should know also about this passage, that typically when you preach this passage, you walk through these things. We're not going to focus our time today on that. But the first thing that they're scattering is the seed, and the seed is the very word of God. We see that Matthew 13:19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and does not understand it, Christ is talking about that this is the gospel. This is the very word of God. And then who is scattering the seed? This is Jesus. Verse 37 says, he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. But I want to focus on the soils today. So I want to call it the parable of the soils instead of the parable of the sower, if that's okay. I don't know if that's biblical. I don't know if I can rename the pericope heading at the top. But surely the Lord will give me grace today. So why are we looking at this? Why is it important? Because here's what I want to know from you. And here's the question I want you to ask yourself. Which soil are you? And maybe even more important is, which soil does your family reflect? What soil does your church reflect? And what soil does your city reflect? Because you belong to each one of those things. You may have a great soil personally, but your family has soil too. Your church has soil too. Your city has soil too. And you belong to each one of those things. So it's important for us to understand that we may be blessed in one area, but we may be struggling in another area. And how do we help it come along? And so if we're lacking fruit in any capacity, it's not the seed that's the problem. It's not the sower that's the problem. It's the soil. And the first thing we come to is in verse 19. We see this. He says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. And then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So we see the footpath soil it represents a hard heart. A footpath is not the place that you are sowing seed. Back there in those days, what they would do is they would just throw the seed out, they would scatter it out, and they would till it in. That was what caused it to go into the ground. They would till it in. And as they were tilling it in, some seed fell on the footpath, and that's not where you were actually going to sow your seed. But there it was, on some hard-pressed dirt, on some compact dirt. It's a footpath, which means it has much traffic. And if we're looking at our heart and comparing, which is what Christ is doing, comparing the footpath traffic and our heart to each other, what we're seeing is simply this, is that the heart is a place that has been trodden much. Trodden much. Can I tell you that we're probably the most, we are the smartest generation in terms of access to knowledge. We have more information. Think about it. If you can listen to me today, and then you can listen to me tomorrow, and then you can listen to me Tuesday and Wednesday, and you can listen to me all that you want to listen to me, because you can get to me online. And some of y'all are saying, Pastor Scott, I would never listen to you more than one time. What are you talking about? One is enough, brother. One is enough. But you can jump out there and go to somebody else, and they got a podcast for you, right? You got a book you can read. You got a YouTube video of some other preacher. And you got all these different avenues. Can I tell you that probably the church is sermon trodden? We have heard so much stuff, right? You don't lack in knowledge. You don't lack in information. But here's the thing. God is not talking about a heart that has not received knowledge. He's talking about a heart that's not received revelation. And that is the difference, is that you and I, we're trodden upon. We were ran across by so many different things, but we're not getting revelation because there's no seed that's penetrating the surface of our heart. We hear it. We know it. In fact, I've talked to many people who knew God's word very clearly and way more exhaustively than I did, but they did not know God like I did. Because even though they had information, they had no revelation. Because God has not given his word so that we might know what it says. We're supposed to do something with that. In fact, more importantly than that, it's supposed to change us, renew our minds. But see, revelation for us is when the seed is tilled into the soil of our heart. But oftentimes what we hear sermons or we hear books or we read articles, they're just the seed that sits upon the surface of our heart, and it's left to the sophistication of our mind. And this was the problem with Pharisees. Pharisees loved knowledge. Pharisees loved knowing the scripture. But Pharisees hardened their hearts because they loved the knowledge of religion, but rejected the revelation of relationship. Can I tell you that this is the reason why Jesus came down? If he just needed to bring a word to us, he could have done that the way that he did it, but he came that he might have relationship with us. And so a heart that simply allows the seed to sit on top of it and not receiving it is a heart that says, okay, I came in contact with the word, I heard the word, but I didn't receive the word. And because of that, there's no revelation. Can I tell you, this is the problem that Jesus had with his hometown in Nazareth. They knew who this Jesus boy was, right? They heard him speak in such a way in the synagogue that they were amazed when he spoke. They were like, wow, did you hear his knowledge? Did you see how wise he is? But the moment he wanted to show them who he really was, they said, no. We don't need that. We just want the knowledge of your word. We don't want the revelation of your authority. See, it's okay to know. It's okay to know what the good book says. It's okay to know what's required of us. But when it comes down to it, and he says, you know what? I'm going to have authority over your life. And you're going to walk this out. And you're going to be judged. That's when we start to distance ourselves. That's when we turn the hearer off. We say, I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with everything in the Word of God. Well, you need to. Because the Word of God, one of these days, when you're either judged now or you're judged later. And you'll go before the King one of these days, and he's going to look at you. He's going to make that decision. You can either be judged in Christ, or you can be judged a different way and find a different path. But I would not encourage you to do just that. And so I would just tell you this morning, first off, is know that the reason you may not be producing fruit is because although you have much knowledge, you have no revelation. Can I tell you that an inwardly hard heart makes you outwardly easy prey? Because notice what the word says here. It says that because the dirt was hard, because it was trodden, because it was a footpath, It did not receive the seed, did not receive the word. And because of that, Satan came along and snatched it. He sent a bird to snatch it. I think it's important for us to understand, you can come listen to me every Sunday. You can come to discipleship classes. But until you receive the word and let it have its authority that it already has, then you're robbing yourself from true faith. Because the word says that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's funny that the reason most of us fail to reach that place in our prayer or to receive what God has asked for us is because we might lack faith, or we're asking in a wrong way. We don't have the right faith. And the faith that you need comes by the word of God. But it does not come because you simply read the word of God. It comes by the revelatory, impacting word of God. It must go deep into your heart. And if you're not allowing it, full revelation into your life, what's happening is simply this. You're allowing Satan to send his bird to come and snatch that seed from your life. And you heard the word of God, and now you're angry that it's not working for you. And you didn't receive it enough into your heart to protect it from it being stolen. Because I can tell you, I've sat many times, I know, in a service, and I've left that service, and before I got out to my car, that bird came along and snatched that word from my hand. And so perhaps, your inwardly hard heart makes you outwardly easy prey. Receive the word of God. The second thing is simply this, is that there's rocky soil. You have rocky soil, and then you have a shallow heart. He says in verse 20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Notice that. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. You knew what it was. You opened up the surface of your heart and you took it in. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And that word fall away does not mean an immediate collapse. It means slowly. Slowly because you're tired. You've drifted away. It wasn't the abundance of rocks, but rather a lack of depth that caused this soil to struggle, or this seed to struggle. I didn't know this until I started digging into some information, but a shallow soil always produces a warm temperature. And so when soil is shallow, then the sun doesn't have to penetrate through layers of the soil, and so then the seed loves warm soil. And so what happens is that seed gets into that warm soil and it starts to sprout right away. It loves it. It's an immediate response. It's growing faster than the other ones that went deep into the ground. But here's the problem with that particular seed. Although it shoots up, it can't shoot down. It doesn't have any stability. And I think, you know what? This might be just the American church. We love warm soil, but we don't have any roots at all. The soil is warm because the soil is shallow. You see, you and I, we want just enough heat to warm our soil, but not so much that we have to send out roots. We want just enough soil to be forgiven, but not so much that we have to live crucified. We want just enough soil for God's word to free us, but not enough to make us faithful. And the problem is that we're inwardly shallow and we're outwardly weak. Because as soon as you put that seed in the ground, that seed begins to flourish. What happens is it sends up a flag. It sends up a pole and says, here I am, enemy. The seed of God has prospered and is growing. And do you know what happens? It says right here, you're targeted. It says, since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. You need to know that as soon as God's word is planted in your heart and you start to grow, you're marked. You're targeted. The enemy is coming for you because he knows the power of the seed. In fact, I find it interesting that in the previous soil, the footpath, that Satan doesn't even allow. He's so scared of the seed. He's so scared of the truth that he doesn't even allow it to remain on hard and dry dirt. He sends a bird to come pick it up. That's how scared he is of the word of God. And so when he sees the word of God take root and grab something in your life, and you send that flag up and says, here I am, I'm a new believer, he says, well, let's just see how long you'll last. And it says, because of the word, because of believing God's word, he persecutes you. Fall away. As soon as they have problems or you're persecuted for believing God's word, that's what happens. The moment you send that shoot up, you're telling the world, the seed of God lives in this soil. Now you're marked. So what do we do? How do we navigate that? We have to find ways to go deeper. We have to find ways to not be comfortable. Can I tell you that if you're called to this faith, you're not called to a comfortable faith. There is no glory for us if there is no suffering. And if I can just be transparent for a moment and just say, I really feel like persecution is coming. I really feel like suffering is coming to our generation. It could be this year. It could be next year. I just want to ask you, are you comfortable in your shallow soil? Are you comfortable when you can't go down any further? Because I guarantee you, when the sun comes out and the heat turns up, they're not looking to disrupt your soil. They just want your seed. They want you to deny God and to release the word of truth in you. You're only a threat if the seed is in you. But you got to be ready for that moment. You've got to be persistent. You got to be steadfast. You got to send down roots. And to be comfortable is not going to be deep. Comfort is for the shallow. You and I have called to suffer. Because we tend to fall out. In fact, there was a little story named Little Johnny about Little Johnny. Little Johnny, he was a young boy. This was not me, by the way, growing up. Little Johnny was a young boy, and he would fall out of his bed, and he would cry and say, Mama, Mama, I fell out of my bed. And she'd say, it's okay, Johnny. Get back up. Get in the bed. It's going to be okay. And pat his head. And then next thing you know, plunk, he hit the ground. Mama, Mama, I fell out of my bed. And she said, well, why are you falling out of the bed? And pick him up and back in the bed. He's like, thank you, Mama. You love me so much. Can you keep me back in the bed? She's like, I do, Johnny. Now stay in the bed. And so next thing you know, kerplunk, Johnny fall out of the bed again. And so now he's on the floor and he's crying. And he says, Mama, I don't know what it is. I just keep falling out of bed. He goes, why do I keep falling out of bed, Mama? She says, well, it's real easy. You hadn't got in far enough. And that's the problem with most of us. You keep falling out of the bed because you ain't got in far enough. But if you would press into the word of God, if you would press into the presence, if you would press into his name, if you'd press into the revelation of who Christ is, you wouldn't be falling out all the time. And the altar wouldn't know your name as much. We got to get in. We got to send out roots. We got to be deep. Because this shallow Christianity that America is okay with is going to fade away. Because the sun, the S-O-N and the S-U-N is coming. And it is going to expose us. The last one is this, or second to last one is this, is the thorny soil. It's the strangled heart. It's the last of the three unfruitful soils. And it is a strangled heart because we see that what is coming up around it is taking the life from it. Verse 22 says this, the seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. Again, I just, as I read through here, I realize really quick what's happening is that you have great soil. This is good soil, right? Because it's growing. It's so good it's growing your thorns along with your seed. And so what we see is that seed is growing, but also thorns are growing. And these thorns are two different types of thorns that are growing. One of them is the worries of this life, and the other one is the lure of this wealth. Either way, what we see is this, whether in poverty or in riches, we constantly worry. If you're poor, you're constantly worried about how to get more money, right? If you're rich, you're constantly worried about how to keep this money. It's a backwards and forwards thing. But here's the thing. What Christ is trying to tell us is simply this, is that we're always worried, vacillating back and forth. We finally got what we want. Now, how do we keep it? You know, and if we lose it, then how do we get it back? And so our minds are constantly on the unspiritual things. And the spiritual was being choked out by the unspiritual. Can I tell you this morning, when we care too much about this world, we care too little about our soul. That's just how it works. when you care too much about the things in this world, and don't dismiss me so fast. I don't really do that, Pastor Scott. I really do keep a mind on my heart and on my soul, and I'm doing pretty good. Do you? If I was to look at your bank account, would that say yes? Does your bank account reveal to me? Does your purchases tell me that you're encouraging the seed to grow? Or is it choking it? If we looked at your schedule, would your obligations reveal what's choking your seed to death? If you were to look at your text messages, would your relationships reveal what's choking your seed to death? If you were to look at your recent locations in Life 360 or Google, which is watching your phone, you probably don't know it, but it is. Would your time spent reveal what's choking out the seed in your life? Because we go on and we have these false identities that we really are following Christ, but are we really living a sacrificed life? Are you really living a crucified life? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Do those areas say that you are living out a crucified life? Can I be honest with you? As I was going through this, I was like, oh, Lord, I'm guilty on the first, the second, the third count. I've seen in my own life where I have not heard the word of God. I did not receive it. I read my devotional, right? I checked my box. I went on my way, but I was not transformed by it. Then there's times where I heard the word speak to me. God spoke to me, but I did not allow that truth to bury deep into my life. It was a good check. I felt good. That was a good service. That was a good prayer moment. That was great worship, whatever it might have been. But it was just emotional, right? It wasn't really spiritual because there was no transformation. There was no real fruit produced. And then there were times in my life where I was really seeking God, but the problem was that he was saying, Scott, let's talk about what you search for. Let's talk about what you click on. Let's talk about what you listen to. Let's talk about who you follow. Let's talk about what you watch. Let's talk about those things. He's just showing me weed after weed, thorn after thorn. Church, if we have that life of Christ in us, we're supposed to have fruit. And not just fruit, but much fruit. Abundant fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. So I want to ask you this morning, is are you caring too much about the world? If you really look at your life and you be honest and you allow the Word of God to inspect you, and I know right now the Holy Spirit is, because I guarantee you right now that whatever you're defensive over is what you're guilty of. That's where it hits you, right? Let me just speak on my behalf. I know that the Lord is convicting me when I excel in justification. Well, Lord, you see. Well, you see, Lord, this is the reason why. You understand that, but the Holy Spirit says, I see your heart, Scott. I know where the justification comes from. You care more about things that are temporal, things that are not eternal, and yet you beg me for the eternal. You ask me to heal. You ask me to deliver. You ask me to do these things. And yet you care more about the temporary things. And you sacrifice none for the eternal. Church, how are we going to produce much, much fruit if we care more about projected fruit? We care more about the things that mean nothing. They matter none. Really, it's a reflection of selfishness, if we're being honest. And it's something we fight today. It's something we'll fight tomorrow. It's something we'll fight 2 months from now and 2 years from now. Because as long as you're living in this flesh, you're always going to fight yourself. So I say these things today to remind you. Maybe you're a new Christian and you're just nailing it. Man, you're walking and you're so passionate. You know, I remember what it was to be passionate after God. And man, you're like, I'll forsake it all to go after Jesus. And then there are some influences and some responsibilities and some mediocrity and some compromises. And I think, man, I wish I could live that way. But you can if you understand what a crucified life looks like. So let me just ask you again, are you living a crucified life? That is the life of Christ living through you? Or do you just borrow his life to fulfill your agenda? Because what's nice about Christ is that he loves you anyway. And his gift and his love to you is not conditional. It's free. But you have to die to him completely. We can't just borrow forgiveness and go ahead about our own future. It's all of us, or it's none of him. So what are we really sacrificing? As the worship team comes back, the last soil that we see, the soil that you and I are striving for, and I hope that you are there, but if not, press on, is the good soil. It's the pure heart. So we've had the hardened heart, we've had the shallow heart, the strangled heart, now we're at the pure heart. Psalms 24, 4 through 5 says this: he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift his soul to what is false, the untruths, and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. The first three ways of hearing the word was wrong. We didn't hear at all. We hear only in part. We didn't hear in truth. But now we're at the place where we hear with a pure heart. And Matthew 5, 8 says this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Who? The pure heart shall see God. There's no compromises in that. We don't get to justify ourselves and look at the American standard for our life and say, I'm doing good. No, we're not. Look at the word of God and decide for yourself, are you walking in line with his word? It is his word that we are held accountable to. If we have that pure heart, we shall see God. Here's a pure heart. Here's characteristics of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this: so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. If you have a pure heart, then you're calling on God. And you're longing to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Is that what you really pursue? Do you pursue righteousness? Do you pursue faith? Do you pursue love? Are you pursuing that? Are you pursuing peace? Because if you are, then you have good soil. And if you're not, then you're one of the other three. And we're not just good hearers. That's not what makes the pure heart good, is we're just hearing. We need to know there's something more important than that. And James 1:23 tells us, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. So my question as we close is this: is what soil are you? Are you pursuing righteousness, faith, love, peace? Or are there some people in your life that's preventing you from doing it? Is it mom and dad? Is it an ex-spouse? Is it an ex-supervisor? Brother or sister, somebody's preventing you. Maybe it's none of those things. Maybe it's just you. Maybe you can't get past yourself. Maybe you lack the trust and the faith in God. And you're just that person who only hears the word today. And as soon as you leave out of here, you won't receive the word. But in the end, I want you to know is that if you want this life of Christ, then you got to produce fruit. We must produce fruit. We cannot call ourselves branches that are connected to the vine and say we don't produce fruit. So this morning, Are you producing fruit? Maybe you need to deal with your heart and address your heart. This is what the word says. David understood what it meant to be in your situation. He says, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to take some time to open the altars and just respond. I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to many of you. Before I open the altars, I'm going to ask you to come down, or you can do it at your seat. But I need to ask this one specific question. With every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, the whole time I was talking, you knew that there was no seed in your heart. I don't know who you are, but the Lord does. And I know you were sitting there the whole time trying to figure out a way to not allow this word to penetrate your heart. The Lord's calling you. You're lost. You're far from your Creator. But today He longs to restore you. Today He longs to put a seed in you and to grow something in you far beyond your understanding and your capacity, to redeem you, to forgive you, to restore you. If you would say today, Pastor Scott, I'm not walking in relationship with the Lord, and I know I need to be, but today I want to begin that walk. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Let me know where you're at. Yep, I see that. Nobody else. Pray. After I get through praying, the worship team is going to come up and they're going to lead some worship. And I want you to respond. Lord, you see the soil that I am, and you know the soil that I need to be. Change me today. Let Him guide you. Father in heaven, I pray. Lord, we take this time, Lord, right now to respond. Thank you, Lord, for your word that's challenged us. But God, we don't want to just be challenged, God. We want to be changed. So, Lord, we know the soils that identify with us, our family, our church. And, God, we want to change those things. So, Lord, now we come and we kneel before you now. God, we put our heart before you, Lord, and we say, till up, God, the dirt. Lord, remove the rocks and allow us to go deep, Lord. Penetrate, God, the hardness of our heart, God, and allow us to receive the seed. Remove, God, the thorns, Father, and prevent the things that choke us, God, from experiencing real life. But we want to be a follower, God, that produces 30 and 60 and 100 fold, because all of that speaks of you. So, Lord, now as we respond, I pray, would you change us? Would you change us as well? Church, would you come? Join me at the altar.